We should keep up hope. We shouldn't be so critical of ourselves. When we make mistakes, we should sincerely repent and take the sacrament and renew our covenants and remember our reliance upon the Savior and His atoning sacrifice. When people don't understand the atonement, they often try to atone for their own sins. For instance, many young people have perfectionistic consciences, and when they do something wrong, they can be so hard on themselves that they commit a double wrong by refusing to accept the Savior's gift of healing and forgiveness. They slay themselves daily in a sense. They don't understand that Christ already atoned for their sins on the conditions of repentance. Isaiah wrote, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And with His stripes we are healed." One young woman told of how she learned to rely on the atonement instead of her own strength. Listen carefully to her words. "My roommates and I decided to start this diet so we could feel good about ourselves. It became a grueling routine that threw me back into habits that I had suffered from when I was younger. I started focusing on my faults and my weaknesses and feeling that I was not good enough. I felt like I was inadequate for everything, and that I wasn't at the stage where I should be in my life. I thought I should be married, that I should have kids, and I became more frustrated and discouraged, thinking even more that something was wrong with me and that I was a failure. I kept thinking that I could do it on my own. I had gotten to the point where I was so discouraged with myself, I couldn't look in the mirror because I was so disgusted at what I saw. I couldn't look at pictures. One day I was getting ready and I had the thought that I should just purge and take care of it all. It was a scary thought to me. And I remember going up into my room and kneeling down and crying and telling Heavenly Father that I didn't know what to do anymore. I talked to my sister and she helped me make an appointment for a consultation with a counselor. I never had been as scared as I was that day. I almost got up and left, but I decided to stay. A gentleman came out to take me to a room, and we started talking. Ironically, this man wasn't even supposed to be interviewing me. It was supposed to be someone else, but he took me instead. He first asked me what I thought of myself, and then what I thought God thought of me. He talked to me about allowing myself to be the way God wants me to be, and trying to see myself how He does, without imposing these standards or images of how I thought I should be. He then sort of rebuked me and told me that I had to allow the atonement to work in my life. "Right now you're trying to carry everything on your own," he said, "and you need to start working with Him instead of alone." He said that was what the atonement was all about, allowing the Savior to work with me. I had weaknesses that everybody knew about, and I didn't want to deal with them. But instead of taking the opportunity to make my weaknesses stronger, I tried to shove them under a rug and tell Heavenly Father not to help me with them because they really weren't an issue. And in the process, I separated myself from God. I thought, "He is so right. I'm not allowing this to work in my life right now." As soon as I realized that, it was like a huge weight being taken off my shoulders. I felt such a sense of hope and peace, and a realization of what I needed to do. I needed to apply the atonement in my life. For the first time in almost a year, I really felt the peace that I had been longing for. End of quote. If it is the Savior's righteousness that saves us, then what do we offer? We offer our acceptance of Him and our sincere willingness to do His will. And then we do His will. If we sometimes fall from the path, we get up and get back on again. While the Lord commands our perfection, for He can command nothing less, He allows for our imperfection. That is why repentance and the sacrament are part of the gospel covenant. As the Lord told Joseph Smith, "Seek ye earnestly the best gifts, always remembering for what they are given. For verily I say unto you, they are given for the benefit of those who love me, and keep all my commandments, and him that seeketh so to do." What happens inside our minds and hearts when we start believing that Christ really is our Savior, here and now? I once saw a television show in which several people whose lives had been saved were brought together with those who had rescued them. They each told their story and talked about their feelings. One woman had been pinned under a car in a terrible accident, and a man had stopped to free her. Another woman had almost drowned in her vehicle, and a rescuer had dived into the freezing water, gotten his arms and hands into the car, and kept her head in a small pocket of air until additional help arrived. As hypnothermia began to set in, the man feared he might die himself while trying to save the woman. The television interviewer asked each of those who had been rescued, "How do you feel about this person who saved your life?" Every one of them was very tearful and said something like this, "I don't have words to describe how I feel. We were instantly bonded. I can never repay the debt I owe. I would do anything to help this person." As I listened to these people, I thought, what if we had had that same feeling toward Christ every moment of our lives? What if, instead of thinking about salvation only in terms of some future state, we deeply believe that Christ is saving us now, and that if our lives ended today, we would inherit eternal life? I believe this kind of faith would profoundly affect our feelings toward the Savior and toward ourselves, and would increase our desire to forgive others' transgressions against us.